This is a TalkStation original podcast.
On this week's episode of the Paper Boys podcast, JJ and I speak to NC State diehards Mimi Outlaw and Alan Leary. We talk about the Wolfpack's tournament run and what it's like to be a lifetime fan of the Wolfpack. It all starts right now on the Paper Boys podcast.
Welcome to the Paper Boys podcast. I'm JJ Smith.
And I'm Zach Nally.
We're reporters with the Cardin County News Times. We are joined today in studio by Mr. Tom Outlaw.
Hello, I'm Tom.
Alan Leary. Hello, go Wolfpack.
So Tom and Alan are with us today because we wanted to bring in some people who we thought define what it is to be an NC State fan. Tom, you graduated from State what year?
In 81.
Alan, you graduated from State what year?
1978.
And were you State fans before you went to State?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
From day one.
I don't know from day one. That'd be from birth. So, but I would say my father went to State, and my brother went to State. Okay. My first cousin went to State. So, somewhere growing up, I'm sure.
You had no choice in the matter.
For the most part, not.
What about you, Al?
Yeah, my grandfather on my mom's side was a botany professor at NC State, professor emeritus, 40 years, and he used to send me drawing paper, which I didn't realize until I was old enough. I turned it over, and it was these hard-ass biology exams that nobody could pass. But he kind of indoctrinated me to where I didn't apply anywhere else. That's where
you
was
going. Same way, you didn't have much choice in the matter.
That's correct.
Well, and believe me, the only place I applied for was NC State.
But,
I was nominated for the Morehead Scholarship and interviewed, and they asked me if I'd applied, and I said no. And they said, "Do you plan to?" I said, "Why?" And pretty quick. He said, "Well, good. You achieved your goal. You're not going." I said, "Great."
Well, that's what we're looking for here. Two men that bleed red. Well, I guess we all bleed red, but you bleed red and white.
That's right.
So it is a unique thing in this world to be an NC State fan. I'm here to tell you from personal experience, anybody can be a Carolina or Duke fan. That's not a hard
It's way. Easy.
Yeah, I mean, that's like owning a Porsche or a Ferrari or
Lakers, Yankees,
having a really hot girlfriend.
Cowboys.
I mean, these are not hard things to have in life.
Taylor Swift fans.
Yeah.
That's right. You can just fall right in.
Being a State fan, it takes, some intestinal fortitude. It takes some perseverance.
We like to say it's an acquired taste.
Yeah.
You have to work at it. Yeah. And there'll be some down times.
Yeah.
On the plus side, you develop some great coping mechanisms, right?
Builds character.
That's right.
Well, you go in, you hate to say it, hope for the best, expect the worst. But
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
How can we lose it today?
That's right.
Well, what way can they discover to lose in a new way, right? So the reason we have these gentlemen in, the reason we're talking about NC State is because the NC State basketball team was not only the biggest sports story in the triangle over the past month or in change, it was not only the biggest sports story in the state, probably the biggest sports story in the country for the past month or so. Even Jay Billis, who's a basketball analyst, went to Duke in the 80s. He's been around college basketball for almost 50 years. He said he's never seen anything like it. So what did State do? Well, they finished the regular season losing four straight games. They lost seven of their last nine. They finished 17-14. By all accounts, the coach is hanging on by a thread.
Absolutely.
So what do they proceed to do? Well, they go to the ACC tournament and they win five games in 5 days, which had never been done before in the ACC tournament history. And I'm going to give you some numbers to tell you why it's so tough to be an NC State fan. So they win their first ACC tournament championship in 37 years. 37. So then that qualifies them for the NCAA tournament. They would not have qualified for the NCAA tournament without winning the ACC tournament. They go to the NCAA tournament. They win two games the first weekend, two games the second weekend, Final Four for the first time in 41 years. So that's 37-41.
Yeah.
And then this week, the final Associated Press Top 25 poll comes out, and they're 10th. So that puts them in the top 10 for the first time in 49 years.
Been a long time coming.
Wow, the top 10.
Good things take time. I saw that the other day.
I can see that.
Of course, the diehard State people said, "Hey, we beat Duke twice within this time.
I don't understand.
Why are they
that
ahead
one.
Of us?" But
I don't
we'll take it.
That
we'll take it.
So, Alan Leary, tell us what that past month and change has been like for you as a State fan for the past 50 plus years.
It's what, Val Von, you say survive in advance, which got worn out. I said thrive in advance. But you win, you think, well, we didn't expect that. That's good. We had a good ending. And then here it comes, and you just keep wondering, and you go back to 83 because that was still one of the most amazing things ever. But you look at, I think Coach Keats said at one time during the streak, he said, "We always had the talent, but now the kids are playing for each other." they're proving that they're better than what people said they were. I think they were playing for the coach, too, to try to help him out.
Sure.
But when you look at how they came together and how happy they were, how joyous they were, it was just I sat and watched all the games they won with my wife, and we were just amazed at, you know, you just
each one just kept building.
And, and we just about left the room before the overtime game when O'Connell hit that shot.
Let me ask a question, because I'm not a State fan. I just not.
Well, you're,
I'm the guest here tonight.
Well, good this, you.
These are the paper.
That.
These are the paper boys
your
today.
Life has
been smoother. I'm a Panther fan, so I have my own suffering. Carolina Panthers. The question I have is, you know, and again, as a Panthers fan, I can understand this a little bit. That especially down the stretch, we start winning games, and you're waiting for the loss. At what point in the did you reach a point, any of you in the tournament, where you stopped thinking that tonight was the night we were definitely going to lose, and you thought maybe this was going to keep going?
Well, that had to be the Virginia game, obviously. I mean, you know, we play what, Louisville and Syracuse, but the Virginia game's the one to where we were behind. The guy only had to make the free throw, and it was over. And then when he missed it, and you're just like, okay. You know, it's a prayer, and the prayers were answered. So
felt more faded than at that
yeah,
point.
Yeah, that would be the game that I would say.
I could hear Valvano's scissors where he practiced cutting net.
That's right. They practiced.
It got to a point where it was, I won't say it was fun.
That's right.
Like, yeah. You realize we can.
You're no longer bracing for disappointment.
They can do this. And even you have a swing, you know, they'd be down by nine, then they get back into it. Because, you know, the game can turn in a heartbeat.
Sure.
But State's got such a good basketball tradition. They basically started and built the ACC and tourney and, you know, everything that they did in the past. And then we had a couple of scandals of paying players, and then somebody sold some shoes, and you think that we should be in central prison still. Yeah. And then you find some things going down the road and some other stuff, and you think, but it's you know, so we got put in a couple of holes, but we've got some history of great players and who have gone pro or have coached and have helped with recruiting or helped the university. I mean, you look at what David Thompson's meant to the whole university, North Carolina State University, mm-hmm. not just the fact he was one of the greatest basketball players in the ACC, but some of the other guys that had come through there and have done great things and helped raise money, helped get scholarships for kids, helped recruit. But yeah, it's been a good vindication and a good time to celebrate.
How about you, Tom? What was this past month like?
Well, you know, this team, like you said, they lost their last four regular season games. You kind of wondered going into the tournament what's going to happen. And I agree that I think they were playing for their coach. I mean, the team played together. They mostly play, what, seven guys for the most part there at the end. And they just believed in each other. I don't know how they come together in that first game. Like you said, you're just wondering it's going to be one and done. But no, they kept going at it. And I think even if somebody had a bad night, somebody else would pick it up. That's what I noticed, that where if Horn wasn't shooting well or Burns, somebody else would pick it up. You know, Taylor would have a good game, or somebody.
Middlebrooks would step up.
With Middlebrooks, that one game. Just somebody always stepped up and played well. So, and I do believe they were playing for the coach, because there was a lot of noise out there, is what coach would say, of him seeing his last season. But the players came up, and like you said, they win the ACC tournament, five games, 5 days in a row, and then that's the only way they were going to get into the NCAA tournament, and that happened. And then you just kind of wondered where they were going to go from there, but it's one game at a time, and they did well.
Well, it's like Zach asked a great question. It was there a point during that run where you said, oh, this is something. We're just going to keep winning here. We're not going to lose.
I think the team believed that. I think beating Carolina – for that ACC tournament championship, I think that was the key game. I mean, nobody even thought we were going to get there, and then to play Carolina. But I tell you what, beating Duke, I think it helped the morale for the team. And again, I think they were playing for the coach. So, you know, one game at a time is all I look. Like you said,
Duke or Carolina had gotten upset, and we beat somebody else. Not that we were any better than them, but we beat legitimate top 10 teams back to get in there. I mean, Virginia had a bad tail off at the end of the year, but they had been ranked up there too.
So you're saying you go into that Texas Tech game fully expecting a win?
Oh, I was. I really was. Ronnie Kenton wouldn't have believed that. But
yeah.
He's a Texas Tech grad. expecting to win that game.
Sure, and then, of course, Oakland has that big Cinderella first game, and you go into that game, and you're still confident.
You're confident because you were ready to play, I guess, Kentucky. But with Oakland, with that hot shooter, you were almost, this was going to be an easy win. And what? We go into overtime in that game. So,
with a 14 seed, and then the next game you go against 2 seed.
And you know that just like we were having the Cinderella time, maybe the other 14,
that's right,
10 seed has the Cinderella time versus, and then when you get the numbers down, all of a sudden everybody's got one digit in front of them instead of an 11 like we had, and you're thinking, well, we're definitely the underdog. But,
absolutely.
The other thing, like Mimi was saying, when Burns realized, okay, we don't need him under the basket, we want to clear it out for the guards, and what did Keats call him, a point center? Yeah, move him out to 3-point line so it frees up for the guys to go in and shoot layups.
And you warned about that because a lot of Wolfpack were like, what are they doing? They're changing their strategy. They're putting him up at the circle, like you said, where the point guard. And
he was 100% on 3-pointers.
He did shoot that one. Yeah. But, they just believed in each other. And making it to the Sweet 16 was something that, you know, obviously was something that they didn't think they were going to be there. And then with the girls' basketball, we hadn't even talked about that.
That's true.
The girls, you know, made it to the Sweet 16, so you had both teams going to the Sweet 16. And we can talk about that further, sure, too, with the girls. But believing they can get to Sweet 16, that's just like the T-shirts. You wondered, well, do I need the ACC tournament T-shirt, or do I need the Sweet 16 shirt, or do I just need to wait for the last one?
We beat Duke in the Elite Eight shirt.
What shirt do I need?
It used to be you had to wait to see who won before they print anything. Now,
they got
19 different items out there.
Alan mentioned DJ Burns. How much fun was it seeing him become a national story?
DJ Burns, it's hard to believe. If you saw the guy, and most people across the country would see somebody like that, and as soft-spoken as he is, what a great guy. And then his footwork, he looked like a little ballerina when he get the ball. People just couldn't believe it. And being left-handed, you wouldn't think about guarding him going left. I don't understand when they do their little looking to see how the player plays, that knowing that he's going to go left for the most part,
stuff.
Scouting that he was going to go left as much as he could. But what a individual and a great guy to be the ambassador of NC State.
6'7", 275.
Yeah,
listed
right.
Weight.
Yeah. That might have been a couple years ago.
One of his comments after part of the run, and there had been some consternation between the fans about Keith and so forth. Real brief comment says, to all the Wolfpack faithful, we love you. To everybody else, welcome back. Because he realized.
He had been reading. He'd been listening.
But he was never, he didn't speak down to people.
He just said,
we believe in ourselves and we know what we can do. And, you know, he spoke from the heart.
Now, he's the one that had people go to his house and like, drop nice things off, right? I saw something on TikTok about this.
Oh, really?
People went to his house or a couple of players' houses and left flour or, you know, things that were just a support.
They had a meet and greet at Applebee's one night.
They did, and I saw a TikTok of that where someone said,
was in the car.
Yes, you saw that.
Yeah.
Where he's like, we showed up 15 minutes after it was supposed to start, and look, and you can see, ain't no shot. You might as well go right home.
Those guys have reached legendary status at NC State.
That's right.
They said he would hang around and talk to everybody.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, people were posting about how, hey, we got there late. And he stayed late.
Saw the video where after, I think, the Sweet 16, he didn't even go back to the locker room. He went to the security room.
Yeah.
And the ladies and all were in there.
And selfies and pictures.
I mean, took pictures and signed autographs before he didn't even know which way the locker room was because he had been over there with them. Couldn't get back to the locker room.
Playing the pros a couple of years, then some Fortune 500 company will have him.
He'll be a good ambassador for somebody else, won't he?
Exactly.
As a addition. What a great team to make this run. And all those kids were easy to root for, weren't they?
Absolutely. You know, his 275, let's go back to that weight. You know, I think he was on a nutrition plan last summer. He did get down.
Yeah, I remember.
Did you say, no, he really did. Matter of fact, you were wondering who that guy was.
Just,
but I think
some
when they went back to school there in whatever August, September, I think he just
He found everything he lost.
Yeah, I believe.
He switched their meal plan.
I guess he didn't worry about it. But again, what can you say?
So. Well, State won 9 games in a row. Was there any superstitions going on during that 9 games? Well, did you have to watch?
I don't know. A cat has 9 lives.
So. Yeah, we kept looking back. What date was it that Valvano's team beat this team or won that game?
Oh, wow.
Because you kept going back thinking.
83.
Yeah, yeah. And you think, what, you know, because somebody said, man, if we beat Marquette, then we get to beat Houston because that's right. Who we beat for the championship. Then Houston got beat. So
going back to the ancient scrolls and see what future might hold for you.
You always wanted Houston to beat Duke just for that.
How many times you want to play Duke in a year, if you're a powerhouse, you know it's an ACC game. Anybody can win.
Well, we played them 3 times in March, right?
I think you're right.
Just in March alone.
Yeah, March alone. And the last 2 times of beating them, especially in the ACC tournament and then come back to the NCAA. That's the reason when these polls came out this week, and they had Duke at 9 and us 10. I'm like, that should have been easily flip-flop. I mean, I don't know what the writers are looking at, but that shouldn't have been that way. Yeah, I know Carolina finished 7th, but then again, they were up there, you know, the whole year. But for the Duke to be 9 and us 10, I think about that.
State recruiting against Carolina and Duke, and, you know, even some surrounding teams, South Carolina, some stuff toward the Northeast, and now the new – transfer portal, NIL stuff, you know, you got to have a program to tell the coach needs a program to tell the players because they change so much. They're still going to draw more than us just because of tradition. But you look at what Keats has been able to do. It took a couple of years, but, you know, next year they're always talking we might be in the top 25 just with whoever's there. So,
well, you just go back to the 87 team. Like you said, it was, what, 87? 87 when we last won the ACC tournament. That team finished, I believe, 6th.
I think you're right.
To the thing. No, I'm serious. It did.
I think you're right. Vinny
Del Negro.
That was a lot of symmetry between the 87 team and this team.
Like I said, they didn't expect to win that ACC tournament at all. And I believe they were seeded 6th. You could probably go back and look at 87. But they went all the way through it, and I think they beat Carolina by 1 point.
It was.
It was like 68-67 or something like
that. Churches missed a 68-67. The long one hit the buzzer.
And we beat Carolina for that ACC championship. And obviously that put us in automatic bid into the – and we won 20 games that year. How did we get in 6th place? Because it's 20 games. But we went to the NCAA, and I believe we got beat by Florida – and that's where Norm Sloan went.
That's right. He did.
I mean, when he left in the spring of 1980. And after that season, because I think our athletic director didn't want to pay him.
We were up at ACC tournament with your brother when the announcement came that he was going to Florida.
Yeah. But that 87 team, like you said, they lost that first round to Florida. But it was the next season, the 87-88 season that was our best team. You know who were freshmen on that team? Monroe and Cortiani were freshmen on that team, and you still had Shackerford. Charles Shackerford. But we lost in the AC tournament to Duke, who eventually won it, and we went on to play our first round game in Nebraska because I went to the Nebraska
game. I remember you told me.
We were playing Murray State. And on St. Patrick's Day, I can remember March 17th, the Racers. I was up there in Nebraska and had a good time because I had met somebody. And
that's the first time anybody's ever said I went to Nebraska and had a good time.
I got lost.
But, you know, that was funny because I came in kind of early or late, depending on how you want to say that, the next day when we had our game on that Friday night. And everybody was expected to win the Friday night because we were up there with the Wolfpack Club, which is the official party there. And the win Friday, and then you would play on Sunday. Well, you know, we got beat, and that was the game. But they said that Shackelford maybe threw it for some reason. I don't know why, because he was the star. and we lost by, like, 3 points to Murray State. And we got on the plane the next morning and went home. So we didn't stay to Sunday.
Didn't care to watch anymore.
No. We come home. But that was it. That's the team that won 24 games, I believe, the 88 team.
Speaking of traveling, was there any thoughts of going to Phoenix among this group here?
Always, but, you know, I had other issues going on during the ACC tournament. So I was kind of stayed behind. So
yep.
I didn't want to ruin the luck. That's what it is. They didn't want me to
start seeing some of the prices, and you think that's crazy. And you say, but it could be the only chance.
That's right. And
68 years old. You're thinking,
in our lifetime that we would ever see it again. No, we're gonna be all right.
And I'm gonna share the conversation that JJ and I had about going up there, and you really have to weigh. Do you want to take the chance to go there and see it? And take the chance that you could be at the hotel room that night, really sad. And have spent a lot of money to just be sad in a hotel room.
Sitting there in a nosebleed section with binoculars.
That's right, right. Watching the fall.
It was 70,000 people that seated there in
Phoenix. Oh, yeah, it was a football field. It was their football field. So, yeah, that's kind of far away. But I can remember the 83 championship being in Raleigh. So that was exciting. I was in Raleigh, and I did end up on Hillsborough Street in the brickyard by the library. And whatever it went on that night. And you know, speaking of that, you know, this year with everybody meeting at the Bell Tower,
that was cool.
You know, the fans, it's just unbelievable what was going on. Like I said, this last weekend, I was in Raleigh, but I was there more or less for the red white football game because I'm more football than basketball for the most part. And we look good. And matter of fact, I think, this could be the year. Football.
The last ACC championship.
79.
Look, he's got the ring.
There it is. ACC championship, 1979. I work football.
And Tom
equipment.
Says this year is the year.
This year could be the year. Our offense looked really.
And scored on. Right now.
Our offense looked very good this last Saturday. So
y'all who are listening, you can't see it, but Tom is decked out in state gear. He's got the ring. His face is painted like a wolf. We didn't expect that when he came in.
Y'all haven't seen that outfit either when I got
the cool thing about the Bell Tower, Tom was saying, I've got had one oldest daughter went there 2 years before she transferred, but we've got a daughter there now who's a junior.
Oh, wow.
And never really into sports. She played some soccer and all, but her boyfriend the same way. And we get this video from them that night, screaming, hollering. You see the red towel in the background.
She's hooked now.
And it starts to bring back. She understands what it means.
Yeah.
To be a Wolfpack.
What memories? The kids that are in school right now, what memories
we never get bored or tired. You know, if we wanted every year, we would want to celebrate it. But when something
you know,
like this happens.
The people our age, with Alan and myself.
Careful.
I know. You've already said what
year.
What year, yeah. You know. But those people, I'm telling you, they're passionate fans. And, you know, I moderate a group on Facebook that has over 12,000 Wolfpackers.
Wow.
And there's eight of us doing it, including the Bucky twins, Dave and Don Bucky, who played football at NC State in the mid-70s. And to see the comments on there throughout the season of how, you know, for every little thing that we did, you know, playing in basketball and criticizing this and that and wanting to say this and that. And I'm telling you, there's some passionate fans in Wolfpack land, I'm going to tell you that.
Did you think you'd ever see in your lifetime NC State make it to the Final Four?
It's hard to say because that's a hard trip to do. I mean,
351 teams.
I can't say 100% yes. We'll make it
1%,
back. 1%,
basically.
Gosh, I said that 40 years ago. but I'm hoping to see it again because, you know, it makes believers out of the Wolfpackers that, you know, yes, well, you know, our next team could be just as well, you know, just as good. So.
Yeah, Alan, do you think you'd ever see it in your lifetime?
You know, you go from following for so long and used to go to the old Dixie Classic. In the Big Four, you know, back when the ACC was where it was, and Reynolds Coliseum, which was the most awesome, you know, camped out so many times for tickets there. And you see them win in 74 because kind of like they were supposed to, Thompson, Burleson, Tao, all those guys. 83, you know, I remember they said Bob Griffith bet $100 on the first ACC tournament game and just rolled it over.
Ooh.
He never told everybody how much he won in the end. But that's like the dream. But then you get this up and down, mostly down. Mm. And for this to happen, it just energizes you. You know what? It can, and the next crop of kids coming in, you can point back and say they were considered dead on arrival. They're going home after one game, and you keep coming back and coming back. I remember when they first played the 4 days in the ACC tournament. Justin Ganey played 4 games, 40 minutes straight through. Never took a minute off, even though they didn't win the tournament. And you think that's impossible. And these guys, they said, "Quit asking us if we're tired. We're not tired." We got more games to play.
Oh, that's something else they were thinking with DJ Burns, you know, his 275 pounds.
And it's untold how much in terms of, we just talked about the championship hats and shirts,
yep.
How much to the university, which helps the whole university when as we like to say, some of the Carolina people are Walmart fans, they go get their stuff. But it really helps not just the sports enthusiasts, but it helps the whole school.
Sure.
And that's going to bring some kid who was going to be a scientist or an engineer anyway, and he's going to go there and he's going to invent or come up with something that's going to benefit everybody. So we can go back to Kevin Keats and say, Kevin, thanks for the cure for cancer. I mean, think about Valvano.
Yeah.
With all he did.
That's right.
Look at what he's raised between he and Kay Yao.
Yeah, Kay, yeah. Both of them.
And they still had the Kay Yao game where those ladies come out 30, 40 years
in pink. And even the visitors show up in pink.
Yeah, yeah. And you just think, you know, that we saw when we were just down on vacation in Cancun. I was telling John Harris's cousin Andy on the way, we were all set to watch the women's game. And for the first half, all they showed was Mexican Little League Baseball. Because we're in Mexico, and that's what they chose to show. Well, after the game, we run into Summer Erb, who was the ACC Player of the Year in 1999, and went to the first Final Four State went to with Kay Yao in 98. Yeah, she's taller than me and Dean McDonald, and we started saying some stuff and all, and you think, and it was all, go Wolfpack, can you believe what's happening here? It's just a big family, really big passion. We don't leave it in the third quarter. We stay till the final buzzer and cuss the traffic afterwards.
And the watch fans, you know, in different towns, whether it was in Portland with the girls or anywhere around the country, all these alumni NC State Wolfpackers, the Wolfpack Nation. Boy, they had their parties. And it was great to see that.
And you'll see on the sites, like Tom says, a guy says, hey, my dad, he's, you know, got this disease, he's not gonna be around much longer. I really like taking him to one more football game. You'll see multiple people jump in. I got tickets, I got a parking pass. You want me to pick you up? It's a family that looks out for people.
Alan, where you've been rooting for NC State since 70s. Where does this run rank in your favorite moments of the NC State fan?
I remember when it was the semifinals of the 74 championship, which was played in Greensboro.
UCLA.
And I remember watching with my dad that night, and the ref made a bad call against State, and I thought we were going to lose. And I was so mad, I went and changed clothes. My dad says, where are you going? I said, I'm going to Greensboro. I'm going to kill that SOB. He's cost us. And he says, you're not going anywhere. Yes, I am. I remember 83, I was at my house with about 20 friends watching the Houston game in Albuquerque. And when Wittenberg threw his pass, and we're all just like, okay, overtime. And Charles dunks it, and the whole house, the air got sucked out of him. My buddy Willie Stern, may he rest in peace, big Carolina fan, he looked at me and said, no basket, offensive goaltending. No. And it counted, and we just, you know, Monday night, the only place open was Beach Tavern, so we drove all the way over there and had a big time. This is just, it was unexpected, but it's such a pleasant thing to watch. Yeah. They played such consistent ball. They'd go down 4 or 5 points, but they didn't dig a hole. They didn't do the Wolfpack 6-minute, you know, blank.
Let me ask you another question as a non-State fan. Did this come out of nowhere, or was there a little lead up to this, the season?
Well, they started 5-1, weren't they?
Yeah, but that's not what I mean. What I mean is, had there been any sign in the last season, 2, 3 seasons?
Oh, good Lord, no.
So I mean, the coach was on the hot seat, right?
Yeah.
So this comes out of just nowhere for y'all. Wow, what a treat.
I think the fans of the Wolfpack Nation, like I said, in the regulation this year, losing those last four games and what, 7-9. They were ready for a change.
It's his seventh year, right?
Seventh year.
And not a ton of success.
No.
My guy had listed his house, and then he had to pull it right back off.
Yeah.
Not going anywhere.
But that 83, that first game in the NCAA tournament, didn't we play Pepperdine and go into like 3 overtimes or something?
Triple overtime.
And it was like 1 o'clock or something in the morning?
Best free throw here on the team.
I can remember I was at the beach that time and getting out in the parking lot yelling, and there was nobody there at the beach anyway, so it didn't disturb anybody, but. Yeah. That was
good. Turned it off and turned it back on, and we're still playing.
And then we had to play Virginia and Ralph Sampson.
That's
again.
Right, beat them twice.
Because we played them, I believe, ACC. In the ACC tournament, and then we had to play them again, almost like the Duke thing.
And Sampson was dominant that second game.
How would you defend them? You were thinking about that.
I mean,
like
anybody that can cut the nets now without a ladder, he's pretty good. Sampson was that. He wasn't quite as bulky.
Right.
But, yeah, those games were – I remember when Valvano talking about he was trying to keep them all positive right toward the end of the game, and Cozell McQueen had a 1-1 free throw. And he kept saying, and when Cozell makes these two, and he talked defense, and he kept saying, and when Cozell makes these, you're going to do this. And so they got ready to go out, and the buzzer went off, and Cozell goes up, and Valvano says, "Who's shooting?" And Valvano says, "He's got to make them. He don't know what the heck's going on. He made both the free throws." But that was just that was a miracle. This is just something, like, say, out of the blue.
And
for where we've been for the last 30-some years. It's like, you know, now at least we've got a new benchmark. I won't see the next 47-year drought, because I don't want to be around.
I hope it won't be that long. But didn't Valvano also practice cutting down the nets?
Oh, yeah, he did. Take one practice
I mean, so that 83 team was almost expected to do well. I mean,
we were there in 80 when Sloan announced he was going to Florida. And we were at Sir Albert Pitt in Greensboro after we lost first round of the ACC tournament. He had Wittenberg, Sidney Lowe, and Thurl Bailey had come in.
Yeah, freshmen.
And the first thing they all thought were, "We came for Sloan. We're leaving."
Yeah.
And Thurl Bailey in his book said he called his mom. His mom says, "You're not going anywhere. They gave you a scholarship. And I don't care if the devil comes to coach. You're going to play for him." And so ends up, you know, Valvano comes in, and one of the first things he told him is, "I'm going to win a national championship. Do you want to be with me?"
Yeah.
And all of them stay.
Yep.
And like I said, Valvano was just.
Like I said, they practice cutting down the nets. I mean, beforehand. So.
Yep. And of course, he was a believer. Valvano gets out there, runs around, can't find anybody to hug, didn't know what he was doing. But
it's the iconic video. Yeah.
It was.
Where did this run rank for Utah?
This run, well, like you said, it's very unexpected. And you did kind of wonder when is it going to end? When is it going to end? But I think beating Duke in the ACC tournament was key. And then obviously, God, beating Carolina, you're thinking, can you win five games in 5 days? And then beating Duke, I think that made me believe a little bit more. And then obviously beating Carolina, you're like, well, we're beating the best teams in the nation right here. We just put us up against whoever is out there, and then getting into that first round.
It's one thing with the talent, because you can say, well, Baycott's this good and RJ's this good and you've got this guy and this guy. But it's what goes on in the kid's head, which is, you know, when you convince him, like Valvano used to say, you convince him, he can do it, walk through that wall.
Confidence is a powerful thing.
And if you're doing it for your teammate or your coach, it's a whole different
thing. I think Keats had their mindset that way. I think, you know, the public didn't see it. You know, the fans out there, to say before the ACC tournament, they really didn't know what was going on behind the scenes. And a lot of people don't know that, the fans. They don't know exactly what's going on in practice and between the team, what's going on. I think Keats made a believer out of them, and they stuck to his plan. And obviously it worked. So
They showed him in those little clips of locker room, and he was consistent in one more game. He says, people thought we weren't going to be here. We got one more game to win. He didn't say we're going to win the tournament or we're going to go to the final. One more game. And some of the stuff he did, of course, some people say, well, maybe he wasn't the greatest coach, but – it changes every one. Butch Davis, who I'm not a big fan of, but one of his quotes was when they said, "How is the guy a Heisman Trophy winner this Saturday, and he couldn't make midget league the next Saturday?" And he said, "You never know what a 19 or 20 year old kid is going to do. Didn't like his food. Girlfriend got mad. Failed a test. You know, he got depressed. He didn't show up next day. Runs for 18 touchdowns or something." And he just says, You deal with it the best you can.
And I think that's where this team was like that. You know, if Taylor didn't have or Horn didn't have a good game shooting, somebody else would take over. And like you said, if Burns didn't have Brooks was Middlebrook.
Middlebrook came in.
Yeah, he came
in. How about Diarra? He didn't get to eat or drink during Ramadan, and he's 10 rebounds a half.
Yeah, he was like Dennis Rodman.
We just quit worrying about defensive rebound, and we were looking at who's going to get the fast break. And O'Connell, he became very solid and a really good all-around point, because DJ Horn was trying to play point, and he's a shooter, and that's a tough position to play. But it melded, came together better than we could think. And thank goodness we didn't get an injury bug till the end when O'Connell tripped over the free throw line or something. that was a shame. And that changed the whole
– I don't like those courts, those raised courts they put in, so – that's just me.
Well, I can tell you the difference it made with me is, you know, we have the football panel in the fall, and I'm very superstitious. I don't pick my favorite teams because I'm afraid I'll put the reverse mojo on them. But sports gambling became legal in North Carolina right before the ACC tournament.
It's a weird coincidence, right?
I started putting money on the Wolfpack because I thought they're never going to lose. Yeah. I never would have done that in a million years.
So that answers my question of whether or not you were confident. Okay.
I mean, you just thought, well, and it's not like they were pulling these out of thin air.
That's right.
Every game they won by 7, 8, 10 points.
They did. Yeah, absolutely.
Overtime.
You're right.
They still won by.
They didn't even know they won.
It wasn't close.
Yeah.
But it proved they weren't just, you know, falling upward or stumbling into it. Whatever system they were using was working.
It wasn't like three last second shots or a bad call.
Right.
I had a golf buddy that, as it got toward like the fifth or sixth game, he says, "Don't worry, Wolfpack's going to win tonight." I said, "Do you think so?" He said, "I've been betting to get them against them every time, and they won. I bet against them again, so they're going to win again." But it got some good conversation, and you know, we could use our thanks to Kay Yao going back, you know, and Debbie Yao. Our programs all around in the school have been really, you know, men's, women's, and just
and
everything.
The sports they've been waiting on was football and men's basketball.
Yeah, well, that's always the money makers. But you look at our wrestling, gymnastics won the conference championship.
Swimming, cross country. Yeah, that's right. National champion cross country swimming.
We just, you know, when you rank consistently in the top five in cross country, swimming is good. Yeah. And it's
wrestling program is fantastic.
Mm. Yep. Well, like I said, this winter, you know, we had five teams after this winter sports. We're in the top 11 in the nation. The two swimming teams, the men and women, the basketball, men and women, and then the wrestling team, like you said, all finishing the top 11.
And you look at what you spend on certain programs. I saw where the South Carolina women spent over $10 million on just the ladies team, but they lost several million dollars because of that. And you look at us spending, what, maybe $1 million plus or minus at the most, and you still finish, you go to the Final Four.
This NIL stuff, I don't know where it's going to. I don't know if I'm a true believer of that, but you got to keep up with it. If you don't, you're going to be left behind.
That's the thing. Yeah. Whether or not it's something that you expected, you got to find a way to leverage it or work against it or whatever.
Me and I have a mutual friend, Bruce Caldwell, big State fan. His brother was Mike Caldwell, who was a baseball player. He was a freshman in 68. First year they went to the World Series in Omaha. He ended up going to Padres. He pitched in the majors for 20-some years, runner-up Cy Young Award. And last time I saw him, he comes down every few months or so. I said, "How much did you get paid, Mike?" He said, "We got $13 a month, laundry, and food." I said, "You need to file for reparations against these young guys that you broke ground."
That's right.
They're getting $13 a minute to play. And he said, "We played because we loved it. We went to Omaha with one wool uniform for the whole College World Series." Signed a major league contract for $12,000, thought he was the richest man in the world. But he's still a Wolfpack man.
So, Alan, you step on campus in 1974.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Been, what, 6 months since they won the national championship?
Yeah. I mean, it was, you know, and right in Greensboro, which everybody said it was a rig because we were played at home. But it was a lot of excitement because a lot of the guys were coming back. It was still the old tournament, though, where, you know, one team went. ACC, there was no other invitations. 32 teams in the tournament.
What was the environment like on campus coming off of that?
Oh man, it was always exciting. I remember camping out for tickets so you could get up close. I mean, Carolina game, if you got in the end zone, you were lucky. I remember when Carolina came, and of course they were probably better than us back then, even though we had Thompson, but they had a real good team. And we're up in the end zone, and it's about halfway through the first half, and Carolina's up by like four, and there's some girl in a Carolina blue pantsuit dating a guy from State, and every time they score, she'd stand up and do her thing. After about the fifth basket, some guy leaned over to the guy and says, "She stands up one more time, she's leaving the building on my back." She never stood up again. But it was 12,000 people, 12,400.
Yep.
Had Reynolds a noise meter.
Yep.
Reynolds hot to us.
Cigarette smoke. Yeah,
No air conditioning.
It was
smoking.
Know, and it was the old, you know, old style stuff.
Yeah.
And but it was, so you were right there. We would camp out, get tickets right behind, try to get behind Dean Smith, you know, ragging the players, giving the referee stuff and all. And it was you know, when you had people that many seats, the students got tickets, but there was only so many.
Yeah.
And so I remember almost losing my feet to frostbite because we camped out to get
right.
it. Yeah. Now it's a lottery thing, and you go pick them up and do stuff.
You were doing the Krzyzewskiville thing before that.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. Donnie Redmond, the guy graduated with us, says still claims he invented Fairsby Golf there. We went through the parking deck and around through these fountains and stuff, inventing golf holes and stuff and all. But it was a neat camaraderie, and it was something to look forward to. Football the same way. Smaller school, 18,000, 20,000 people. Now it's probably 40 or 50.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, but we were passionate. We loved it. Played intramural. We'd pretend like we were them. And then I remember going in Carmichael, which was the PE gym. And one of the things as a freshman, you had to do a vertical jump test. And so they had this little plexiglass thing marked off, and you taste a peak of chalk, and you go up. Right. Above the 12'6" mark, it said DT was here, which meant David Thompson had jumped up and signed it. But you'd go in there and watch them practice, which is where they practiced. And it was, I remember going to, when I went to orientation that summer, they were running a basketball camp, and Thompson was part of one of the counselors there. And got him to sign a napkin for my buddy, Willie Stern, biggest Carolina fan ever. It's just Willie, NC State's number one, David Thompson. He kept it till the day he passed away, unfortunately, about 3 or 4 years ago. But, yeah, it was I think, a different atmosphere. The PNC is a nice place, but it's bigger, and it's, plus it's ice hockey, and it's just not as tight. Same thing for Carolina. They played in that old 8,000.
Sure.
And now it's 20-something thousand. They're talking about building a
new one,
a bigger place or somewhere.
Why'd they have you do the vertical?
What's that?
Why'd they have you on the vertical?
Just PE. And I looked at, you know, some guys, like, yeah, I played. I was a high jumper and could do 6 feet.
They were trying to find some sleepers.
Sloan did a walk-on. I was
there, you go.
And people said, you're tall, you can jump. Of course, I weighed about 120 pounds. But, man, you got there. I went out to see who showed up to walk on. I'm glad I didn't go out there because, man, there's – he thought O'Connell got hurt. I think one guy got knocked into the next building or whatever. But to see those guys walk around, too, and you see Kenny Carr with a size 14 or Charles Shackford with a size 17 shoe, and you realize – sometimes you talk to them, realize they're not, you know, the smartest tool in the shed. But
I was even a tutor for some of those guys. That's pretty bad.
And then the other ones will do anything for you, share stories with you, will offer to come talk to people or do different stuff. I remember meeting Johnny Evans in person for the first time, talking about gosh, what an outstanding guy.
So, Tom, you're not far behind Allen. The still, there's an atmosphere of the national championship, and then you're on campus when the football team wins the ACC championship.
That's right. 77, I arrived for football. I was equipment manager there for them. But, you know, Allen was talking about basketball camps. Now, I went to state's basketball camps in 73, 74, and 75 summer.
Mm-hmm.
Best times in the world, obviously, to go there. I wasn't there for the talent. I was there just to have fun. And you can best believe that. I had no vertical jump. I couldn't even touch the net. So, but I had a great time. But being on campus there in 77 for football was a great time. And speaking of Johnny Evans, what a great guy. And everything that went on through my years, like you said, in 79 with Bo Ryan as a coach, we won the ACC championship.
The last time.
And is that not hard to believe that we hadn't won a football championship since 79? But that's going to change this year. I've already said it. We're going to have ACC champions all in 2024, yes. But it was great times. I've been to, like I said, 26 bowl games with NC State.
Jeez.
Wow.
I remember being in North Carolina after watching the game on TV and meeting down in Florida with Eddie. And they're watching the guys load the trucks up because that's part of their job. And I said, y'all just beat so-and-so in this bowl game. Go out and drink and party. No. Look at the way they're doing that, man. Why are they putting it in that way? What's going on?
You wanted it done right, didn't you?
One thing Tom won't mention about himself, he does a reunion for the 79 football team, one game during the year, so they can all, because the numbers are shrinking.
Oh,
I remember about 2 years ago, Bo Ryan, who coached there, and of course was, you know, died in the plane crash, his brother Curtis played. And Curtis had a debilitating disease, and they weren't sure how long he was going to go. And Mimi had a special jersey made for him.
It was one of his jerseys. It was
his jersey.
In 78, they stopped the tearaway jerseys, NCAA. Mm-hmm. Basically, what happened is the defense would jump on, tackle the guy, and they would rip it while they were on the pile. Mm-hmm. And then they would have that guy had to go out. And so they stopped them. Well, I got all the Ted Brown jerseys and stuff like that. As you know, Ted Brown was one of the best AC running backs ever. And I can remember going to play games at State at the park beside on the East
Coast.
Yeah. And be wearing those jerseys. What a fool I was, because those things would be worth a lot of money. But I had saved, like, the receivers, and Curtis Ryan was the brother of our coach, Bo Ryan. And I had saved a bunch of jerseys, you know, and mostly the skilled people, the receivers and the wide receivers. And like Al was talking about, you know, we had our reunions in the parking lot, and Curtis was there, and he, you know, he wasn't doing too well, but nobody knew exactly what the status was. But it was the real thing.
I remember you getting the jersey, man.
That no, was it was, yeah, I had it, and I said, you know what, I knew Curtis' situation. I said, I don't need these things. And basically, I didn't have many left, but I had his number. And I said, we're going to do this because I know he's going to show up. And what, 1 week later, he passed.
Oh, wow.
No, I'm serious. It was like a week, less than 2 weeks. It was 1 week later. He passed. I couldn't believe that.
And if you saw a current football player walk by one of those guys, the size difference was just, I mean, Kyle Wesco, who I remember watching him play, thinking he was just, you know, he's not a DJ Burns. Yeah. Mimi side.
Yeah, but he was short, but he was pretty squatty because, you know, we just had a special thing this last fall with Bill Cowher. And I was invited with that when they came in. That's right. And we all meet at Amedeo's there on Western Boulevard. And Wesco was there because Wesco and Cowher were our Starsky and Hutch and linebackers back in those days. But that was a special time, too, talking about with Bill Cowher. Coming back to the university. But no, there's a lot of good times. I know.
You've been a season ticket holder in football for how long?
Oh, gosh. I think 87 when I first started with actual season tickets. Wow. And I still have my 8 lifetime tickets. You just got to pay for them.
He's but got TV seats up high in the top. Yeah, and he's got the goal line seats.
Wow.
I got two right sets of four. One of them was on the front row right at the goal line, where 15 foot away is the field, and you can yell at the referees. When we beat Clemson in double overtime a couple years ago, they caught that ball from here to 15 foot right there, and all the TV cameras and all, and you're in the background doing all your stuff.
Crazy.
But no, it was crazy.
Eating his son been on TV more than
We always have our banner, and we put it right down on the wall, right in front. And I'm telling you, and everybody that walks to our sideline, you know, from Torrey Holt and all the other past people, who's who, and you get to talk to them, shake hands, and do everything. So, being a Wolfpack fan is special. And like you said, the other four seats are on the 40-yard line, about fourth row, looking like just like it's a TV camera.
Section 11.
And I don't use those. People like Al and some of the other Wolfpackers will be glad to take care of those.
It's amazing. You know, I was there in the 70s, $5-6 bucks a ticket.
It's pretty
expensive. Park for 5 or 6.
No,
that's a good point.
How long have you been a member of the Wolfpack Club, Tom?
Right after that, you know, it was only about $50 or something. I can't remember what that was, but it took me a couple years to get, I guess, back in into the Wolfpack Club officially, because I was their rep for about 30 years, where you had somebody in charge of your county for the Wolfpack Club. So if you had events locally, you would kind of head it up. And, you know, we did that at the Dunes Club a lot here, you know. But now they've kind of gone away a little bit from that. They do a Wolfpack Caravan, but they only pick more regional. That's right.
What year was it you won? You had raised more money than anybody in the state, wasn't it?
In 2012. Whatever that – they named that award, the Carroll Award or whatever it is – I had raced. I had some big hitters in the county, as we
Al
probably.
Larry, was he one of them?
Yeah.
IOUs. Yeah.
But some of them have these buildings around there across some Bojangles and all. But big names, big names. Yeah, I think
more than anybody in the state for the Wolfpack Club
in the country.
In the country.
Oh yeah. It was the country. I was, you know, I was like
Carter
I said
County
that
pockets are deep.
Carter County is a great NC. People don't know it, but you can look on a map. No. It's
the country.
The country. It was. Wow. They give out the awards. We used to go to the Red White game in April, and they would give out awards for whoever got the most members and money, this and that, and who was the top 10 and all that stuff for the year before. Uh-huh. And I can remember being at the Red White game in April in 2013, and they were going through it. And a lot of times I would have a top 10 plaque. They give out plaques. But, you know, The reps in Wake County and stuff like that, they had their little section of people, and they would win these awards and everything. But I always would be in the top 10. Yeah. And I can remember sitting there talking to somebody, and they went to the one with the most money raised. and I wasn't even paying attention. And the girl next to me said, they just called your name. And I had no idea. So, you know.
Wow.
So that was a special award. That was special. But like I said, I had some, we got some nice big hitters here in Carteret County. Most people know who some of them
are. When you mentioned the effect of what's just happened.
Yeah.
Even though it's, basketball. Yeah. There'll be a surge.
We always read the stories about the increase in applications.
Oh, yeah.
When a team wins the National Football Championship.
You'll see money. You'll see more people get in. You'll see some other kinds of stuff.
And same with the NIL money. You know how, like you said, we were talking about how that gets distributed and stuff like that. You're going state's going to be on the uprise in all sports.
We always ran it about the News and Observer didn't like state as much as Carolina and just whatever. And I remember Sidney Lowe came on one of those caravans in New Bern one year. And I asked him the question. I said, do you think there's a bias against NC State? He says, well, the coaches have this code of conduct. We have to be careful. I said, let me ask it another way. And I kept trying to dance all around it. Finally, he said, let me answer it this way. NC State does not have a school of journalism. And that does not help us.
That's a good point. Nice. Well, you're mentioning that. You're mentioning Deep Pockets. I think we should change our name to the NC State News Times. We might start raking it in.
Oh, my gosh.
Wolfpack Nation is represented in Carteret County.
They're very loyal and very generous if they feel like, you know, things are being done.
Sure.
I mean, we pride ourselves on, you know, what's the old saying that Paul Blake told me? What killed Jim Valvano was Dean Smith and News Observer. Because the pressure that got put on him just, you know, affected things, and it ended up being not that big a deal. But the NC State people are loyal. They'll stand behind you.
Very passionate.
Yep. I am, again, if you get on the wrong side or you do something wrong, you know, you get certain coaches and they say, you know, he's got to go, get rid of him, do whatever. But
well, if you are a State fan, by definition, you're loyal, right?
Yes.
You got to be.
You,
I mean, because you got to hang in there. It might be 41 years or 39 years or 15 minutes before you win something. Yeah.
I try not to get my hopes up, you know, like you said in this last basketball going around, of saying, okay, you know, we're going to win, we're going to lose, whatever it is. I try to stay even keel so I wouldn't get disappointed.
It's a little easier the older you get because you've been through so much.
Sure.
You know, you're not Teflon anymore. Yeah. Man, when you're young and you've had a little streak there and you're thinking, oh, man, we got this. And we can find a way to beat, you know, the New England Patriots, but we can lose to the Carolina Panthers. I mean, you play somebody like, we got to beat the little sisters of the poor, but you know, triple overtime.
You hurt me, Alan. You hurt me hard.
I think getting older, you kind of realize, you know, like you said, Alan, that it you can't take – look, I've been to the Rainbow Classic in Hawaii with basketball. I've been to the Great Alaskan Shootout.
Wow.
Back in when Les Robinson was the coach. And the only person we had on that team was Todd Fuller, I believe. And I mean, we lost to we lost to Weber State, we lost to Wisconsin Green Bay, but I had the greatest trip. I mean, and the fans that went with us, you know, you have to go with what's dealt you.
Older, you don't live and die with every game.
No, right? The Hawaii trip was great. We won that Rainbow Classic. Yeah. So I and like I said, going to Lincoln, Nebraska, for that game. In 88, I you know.
And as being a Wolfpack guy, I can still remember it was the last outdoor Peach Bowl. We played Virginia Tech in 86, and the guy faked an injury because they had no timeouts, and they kicked the field goal at the end. I can still see Lewis Piner standing there 2 hours after the game cussing the official, even though nobody left there. You remember those things. Then as you get older, you think about the good times, the people that are kind of like playing golf. You want to break par, but if you got a good time, a good foursome.
Boy, if we bring bowl games back, and that's just too much, too many. Like I said, I've been to 26 bowl games, and I usually would help with equipment because in the wintertime I could do that from my job here in Carteret County. And, boy, great times. I'd stay with the equipment at wherever we practice. And then on my game day, I would be the ball boy on the visitor side.
Wow.
And the Notre Dame games, you know, Steve Spurrier games against Florida and all. What a great experience.
John Bunny. Special kickball.
yes, we won't get into that, but that was good.
Well, gentlemen, thank you all so much for joining us and going down memory lane.
Thank you.
Yes,
it's actually something to celebrate.
Absolutely.
It is. In the end, it's well worth it. Wouldn't do anything over.
Yeah.
Maybe that one time out we would.
we wear our red proudly these days.
That's right. A little more pep in your step when you wear your back here now.
Absolutely. They know who we are. The country does.
People stop busting about, well, that's not the new logo, or that it's got red, it's got state on it.
Thank you all so much.
Thank you all.
Keep up good work.